We are continuing with the question of social media and community media and the future of community media. I'm very happy that we have Birgitte Jalloff with us. She's an advocate for community media for decades. Sorry to say that, but it's really true. She has been, of course, also president of the Cultural Media Forum Europe. She's a founder of Women's Community Radio in Denmark, but she was very active, and this is the very interesting thing about it, in overseas. She had been establishing and helping establishing community media all over the world, or community radio especially. I'm not going to introduce the speakers as Birgitte will do it, but I want to do a little introduction into the future of community media to give a brief my point of view. As Birgitte told me, why don't I start? I think it's very important, especially in Austria, to see the difference between community media and free speech. Is there a difference? Also, I think it's very necessary to take a major focus on the question of social reproductive work in community media and who is doing that social reproductive work. Are there really these centers and communities we are often speaking of, or is it just segregated communities that commute via ether? Also, the question of the relevance is very important, and the question if radio and community radio has any relevance in the 21st century. I think we have to ask ourselves this question. And is it really as promising, and is it really as uniting as we want it to be? If we look now to the question of analog and digital, I would like to take a focus on the question of digital radio, non-digital radio, and hybrid dissemination of digital radio, analog radio. Let's now take the catastrophes again. When the war in the Ukraine started, within 3 days, the Austrian broadcasting company, or the net of the Austrian broadcast company, started to broadcast again shortwave and middlewave into the Ukraine from Osborne. So, of course, analog media has an impact. Maybe it is the impact in the crisis, we don't know, but it is surely an impact of anonymous media consumption, which we shall not forget. Thank you very much, Birgitte.
Thank you very much, Lale. Thank you very much, organizers, for giving us this floor. We've looked very much forward to it, all of us. Community media, alternative media, free media, people's media, that is what we will focus on the next 1.5 hours. Media spaces giving voice to groups, or rather where groups take the floor and have a place for our voices to share how we see our world and debate how we want this world to move, in which direction, to ensure that we know our rights and we know how to exercise them and we know what to do when our rights are violated. Since the 1970s, the concept of community radio, initially it was primarily radio, and in this room we are also primarily radio, has taken root or took root in Western Europe, moving up through the continent, beginning in the south, in Italy, in France, Portugal, Holland, Belgium, in the thousands, pirate radios sharing the voices of the movements. And in the early 80s, the Scandinavian state-initiated periods of experimentation took the ground for other voices. And in the 90s, it moved on to the Central Europe, to Germany, Switzerland, and in Austria, it took a court ruling in 1993 for the European Court of Human Rights to actually grant the space that many of you here have probably been fighting for, the space for freie radios, when the Court of Human Rights said that exclusion of people's voices actually is not necessary in a democratic society. This is also where the Council of Europe states the importance in their standards related to community media, saying that community media are required as a source of local content, of cultural, linguistic diversity, of pluralism, social inclusion, intercultural dialogue, all of this as one of the markers of a diverse and free media environment, and in consequence, of democracy. And they encourage member states to support and fund these important media sources. This, as community media ensures alternative, free, and not-for-profit spaces for debate and dialogue, not taking place elsewhere, or increasingly also taking place on other platforms, but not in the same way. It was and it continues to be the platforms and channels of the movements, the women, the queer, environmentalist, workers, climate, homeless, and you continue the list. Media of, by, and for the community, and with the non-negotiables, including participation, community ownership and management, community content production, local languages, celebration of local cultures, and the strengthening of the local identity of the individuals and of the communities. And all of this with the intent to facilitate desired social change. This has, in my life, and in the lives of many community media activists and broadcasters, been taken for granted. A free space, our space, on the FM band until not so long ago. Community media were the media complementing and completing the sequence of public service media, commercial media, and then community media as the third media sector. Many community media still match this profile, also when the alternative movement content today, of course, in most European context, can be accessed on many other platforms as well, but not in the same way. We have in recent CMFE research, and CMFE is the Community Media Forum Europe, which I also represent here today, together with Vladimir. Community Media Forum Europe's research has found that community media in many European countries and communities continue to be the home for the voices of marginalized youth, older people, and people without voices, groups of people without voices, like new Europeans. Getting an identity and visibility and a voice and a community where they belong and get their identity while securing programming for especially interested groups of listeners. The ever more present question has been, where do community media find ourselves in an era of digitization and on-demand listening? With the technological developments, including a marked increase in on-demand special interest listening to individual selected programs, will a podcast future maintain the non-negotiables of community media? Furthermore, the COVID period pushed not only the individualized listening, but also the individualized solo production experiences. And you can just as well produce your programs at home, alone. What impact will this have on the community media in the future? What is the need, the space, and the opportunities? So in this panel today, we are asking, where is community media moving? In Western Europe and in the Central and Eastern European realities, where press freedom is being squeezed, where community radios and other media are struggling to stay on air or have to go off air to maintain independence and freedom. And here the podcast reality, as we will be hearing, online proves to be the seemingly only space to have free voices. If this is a reality, then that is the context that we want to address in our panel. And there are many issues, and one of them that CMFE over the past years have continually asked ourselves is that when we recognize the risk of individualized fragmentation of our sector, how can we, Community Media Forum and company, find ways of maintaining the understanding of and the space for a critical counter-public space in Europe. To engage in this, not looking back, but looking forward, we will identify in this panel where we're going and what the shape of the third media sector, our community media, could be onwards. Therefore, this lineup of colleagues who work with these challenging issues every day in each their different realities. After the presentations, we will have about half an hour for contributions by you online, by you on site, and I would invite you and encourage you to take note of your questions and comments, your suggestions for the futures that we want to create together for the last half hour discussion. Having said this, I would like to focus and give the word first to Helga, Dr. Helga Schwarzwald, who studied law in Salzburg and with a dissertation on pornography and criminal law began her professional career as a co-director of a women's counseling service in Salzburg and as a feminist-informed legal advisor. She has all along been an artist and a curator, partly in Amsterdam. Settling in Vienna in 2002, Helga has been active in shaping the development of community media since 2003 as a managing director of Radio Orange 94.0 in Vienna from 2004 to 11, and a board member of the Association of Austrian Community Broadcasters and IG Kultur Österreich. And she has since 2014 been the managing director of the Austrian Association of Community Broadcasters. On this background, Helga, take it away.
Thank you, Richard. You expect me to join, to switch places with
you? I think you should be there, so there's a focus on you. Please, no, you go.
I thought more of a like a discussion in cozy chairs, but if it's your wish, I stand up here briefly and share. I don't need this because there's an overload on mics. I actually would like to take the chance to also post questions. I consider this, even if it's streamed or recorded, as also a chance to discuss with colleagues, with practitioners, as it often is the case for me to talk to policy makers or responsible persons from governments and stuff like that. So it's sometimes really important and missed by me to have the critical questioning amongst each others. So I think for me, first of all, in this context, I would like to pose in regard to this shift from analog radio FM to digital dissemination, let's call it that. Also the question or the Behauptung, the statement, infrastructure is political. I miss this sometimes in our discussions, also in civil society engagement. People communicate via Facebook, via Instagram, via big tech platforms. I'm one of them, and I enjoy it also in ways very much. And as a queer feminist, intersectional feminist with a global interest, perspective or to get perspective, it's also a way of learning and listening to voices not even community radio can provide me necessarily with, but at the same time we know there is a lot of underlying very problematic and, as we heard, extractive practice to maximize private profit and also allowing destabilization of whole societal contexts along the way. So I would like to propose also for people who are very fond of their FM broadcasting, which I am too, to really think about this claim of mine that the infrastructure is political. I think also in Austria we see that community broadcasting started with a political fight for this infrastructure, for the access to this infrastructure. So the way to the airwaves and the way to give voices to people usually excluded from the public discourse went first of all through a fight for the frequencies. So I think we really need to actualize this also stance for fighting for good infrastructure base. And in this case, I think it's very much also what is proposed here. It's hard. We need to learn, and we need to. Stay at discussions. We first of all don't understand anything, but I think it's worth learning. So that is one of my first proposals, and it goes, I'm just coming from Public Spaces Amsterdam, so it goes about alternatives in maps, in chat, in everyday use of infrastructure, but also how we make use of digital dissemination and community building, frankly, on the internet. So my next point, what means community media here and now? What means even community? I think there is also, that's also part of the challenge, that there is such a huge range we are operating in. First of all, I think the physical space, the rootedness in some locality is a very precious and important thing. Also in terms of a political, you like to call it counterpublic, I like to call it a way to fight from. And also connect with. We are just now facing a very sudden, very big challenge by the city of Vienna of kind of scrapping away the basic funding for the first community TV station in Austria. And there is some argument that linear TV is not feasible, not funded anymore, not worth funding anymore. But for me, it's also the question, what is lying behind this very sudden and abrupt, almost counter move, because there it seemed everything goes fine and the funding will come, but then it stopped immediately. So, and we see in Vienna, where I live and come from, there is a struggle going on, a fight going on about Stadtautobahn, Lobau. People in Austria might know that, and there is also a local rootedness of the protest, of the protest camps at the construction site, and there is a lot of coverage from community media, and we see that. Let's say we know that the environmental activism and the fight needs to grow, needs to get more urgent, and it will for sure driven by younger people. So I think we need also to consider that the relevance of community media is in a combination of being rooted locally, but then from there going places and going also internationally, globally, where one can be understand and where people can connect with the topic. And also I see people are doing this via Facebook or activists, but when it comes to a local issue, a local government decision that's required, people remember these local community stations and feel a relevance about being on broadcast there and being supported there and having their content archived and provided for on demand and for embedding in their own websites and taking it from there, and by the way having like a relatively user-friendly, not extractive data structure underneath these platforms that we sometimes not even value as much as we should ourselves. So I'm also speaking here for the CBA. I think it's an incredible treasure, and it goes really with people keeping it up and maintaining it, fighting for it, also for the development when not everyone is seeing the need and the use for it. But I strongly believe in it, and I also want to be really critical about the thing that we do, like for the people who study community media, who study community radio. Maybe the radio part of it was also, or the community radio part in itself was where they felt their community flourish around. But for me, for example, to as a queer feminist, or I have my community within this, let's say, under this umbrella, and let me say, it's not in any case sure that community radio per se is a space where this is like common sense or my needs politically are necessarily met. I think what I value is that I can take my discussion, my critique there and broadcast it, but still I exchange and build somewhere else too. And I think we need to really take this seriously and don't miss out on being too blasé about what we have, and that people should be like aufgehen, I don't know the English term, but be consumed only within this community, radio community, but also built on the network from there. So yeah, that's already 1 minute. I want to just pick up on the what was the word in German? I don't even remember it. Relevanz. So what is the relevance of this whole enterprise? I think, in addition to what I already said, I think always when there was crisis, might it be a right wing, right extreme, right government change in Austria, and the protests to it, the need. And that the listeners go up immediately, the engagement goes up immediately, because really going to the streets with the people, reporting from there, reporting very very immediate, very close, is what people need and also cherish and value, and also know, okay, that's where I find the latest info, and it goes then also via Twitter. But also when we see other crises and war, also from people who flee, we see that there is this community idea to welcome people, to give people a space locally, for example, also on the countryside, B138, close to here, in Kirchdorf an der Krems, they are having like a Sunday cafe for newly arrived people fled from Ukraine, and giving a space to youngsters. And I think, coming from the countryside myself around here, that is a very important and very valuable thing to do, that means a lot to people who don't know anybody and just left and lost their home. So that's it from me for now, and there's for sure a lot to said and be said, and I give it to you.
Thank you very much, Helga. Lots of food for thought. I hope you take your notes for the discussion afterwards. And with this, I'd like to pass a word to Tamás Jambrisko, who is a sociologist and media researcher and has been involved in radio and sound culture since 2012, and was a program director of the first university radio of Pest, EPER, since 2017, in Hungary. He's been the editor-in-chief since 2020, and he's also produced a series of science communication magazine programs and postmodern sound game in 2017. He's been awarded the University Student Excellence Scholarship, and in addition to leading EPER, Radio EPER, he currently works on documentaries, a nature sound album, and the development of radio programs and podcasts. And he teaches in all of this. So Tamás will put us into the situation of wanting to secure free voices on air in Hungary. Not so easy at all.
So first of all, Birgit, thank you for this introduction. Welcome everybody. Thank you for this one. Yeah, of course, I'm working with audio, so I can but I hope that. You know, the nervous things are a bit hard sometimes. So thank you for having me here. I took some notes and maybe you can hear my English a bit rusty. But if you don't understand something, just ask it and I try to say it more precisely. So about the Hungarian media landscape in the field of radio, we have three kind of big radio groups. The public service media and of course radio, the community radios and commercial radios. We have a bit strange stance right now. For example, the public service media is not really acting like a public service media. The community radios, most of the community radios, but not all of them, because it's also a strange kind of animal in Hungary, they act, so the community radios act like a public service radio. How could it be possible? For example, the Tilos radio and the civil radio, hopefully the Apple radio too, and some smaller community radios are providing information, personal stories, helpful information, educational things to their audience. But unfortunately, the public service media, mostly ruled by the government, is not really providing useful and trustful informations. Of course, as you read it in our paper, our public service media mostly creating contents about family, faith, and fatherland. And that's, by the way, that's not a bad thing, but you know, if you don't keep the measures, that could be some kind of disturbing, and you can't really help the people for this, in that country, the Hungarians, to just to make them life better or improve themselves or just providing them a good access to trustful informations. I made some measurements about, for example, our radio, the APER, it's a small community radio with 1 kilometer wide terrestrial broadcasting area. In a year, we are working with 11,000 euros. The Tilos radio is around 100,000 euros, and the governmental-based public service radio and TV connected to this using 30 million euros each year. So the amounts are terribly shocking. So in 2011, the Hungarian government created the Central European Press and Media Foundation, and it could be a good thing, but they are ruling more than 120 media products, radios, newspapers, online sites and stuff like that. So they are absolutely ruling the communication in Hungary. In this state, what can we do? Of course, that's a reasonable question. The commercial media is not a match for here. They are for profit. That's okay. You can use it. But what can we do with the community media? Because we have not so much funds and there's a pack of questions. We have to think about it or look after finding connections, finding people who are interested to serve and work with their communities. And there's another question, how can these kind of people find us, find the community media, especially in the 21st century when we will speak about later the podcasts on the rise. So by the way, if you want to create good content or just an honest content, what do you need? A simple mobile phone. It's contains it, you can use its microphone very easily and then upload your content. But there's another question, of course, how can you distribute your content? How can you reach your communities? With the CMFE interview, I spoke about the micro communities. I think that we are all part of several micro communities, for example, your workmates in your community, in your street where you live, and stuff like that. How can we connect them? Or if somebody would like to create contents for their micro community or his or her community, how can you do that? At the first sight, this question is very easy. Okay, record something, edit it, and then publish it. But we will return to that base question. How can you spread it through your communities? So, in Hungary, the community media, as I spoke about it before, half of the community media is not really a community media. It looks like a community media, but community radio mostly. but it's not working as a community radio. For example, there's a Karts FM in Hungary or the Gong FM. The Karts FM is basically a community radio station, but they are creating mostly rightist contents for their audience. For example, the Gong FM, it's a regional radio. It's a community radio, of course, but it looks like and sounds like a commercial radio. So the true community radios are very few in Hungary. After the media law from 2010, at around in that era, we have more than 30 community radios, small communities and simple community radios. Right now we have at around 10. So, you know, the application form, the administration background and other kind of technical stuff is become harder and harder for this kind of classical radios and classical community radios, mostly community radios, of course. So, what could be our playground, of course, is a community and the community radio. I think the podcast creating could be a solution, but not the main solution. For example, at the Apple Radio, we are creating contents for the terrestrial broadcast, and these contents, the listeners can find it via online on the Spotify and Google Podcast and stuff like that. So we have a terrestrial broadcast, we have an online stream, a web page, a great archive, just for the fun thing, we have a greater active archive than the Hungarian radio. That's a bit funny, by the way, because the Hungarian radio, paid by the taxpayers' money, they are keeping their materials reachable for everybody for, as I remember, 60 or maximum 90 days. After that, you can't reach it. If you want to reach it, you can go into their headquarters and pay something, a pack of money, and then you can just listen it. You can take notes for money, but you can't get the materials, I underline it, made by the taxpayers' money. So we created this kind of podcast, and it looks like, just let me speak about a bit about the numbers. Our webpage reaches at around 2,000 people in a month, not too much. We can't really measure the terrestrial reach of our listeners. I think that it's between 50 or one maximum 150 people. We potentially reach 100,000 people, but of course we can't measure it. But we can measure the webpage, and mostly we can measure the podcast platforms. Maybe you know the Spotify has a function, Spotify for podcasters, and you can use it as an umbrella. We use it as an umbrella, of course. To collect in that kind of individual podcast channels, we create and our volunteers and workmates create, and we can check, of course, the statistics. Based on that measurement, we have more than 10,000 listeners in each month collected this all data. So that's pretty nice, and you can use it as a representational tool. For example, if a company, and we can speak about, of course, the connection between the community media and the commercial companies, corporation and stuff like that, next to the simple community. corporations, so we can use it as a representational tool, and we can use it to improving the shows. For example, if you started a 1-hour length show and you check the statistics after 1, 2, 3, or 5 months, and you can see the retention, the amount of how many people, how deeply listened your podcast. You can see that, for example, half of the people just closed the show after 30 minutes. So that could be
9 minutes. We have 1 minute.
Yep, good. Thank you. So there are a pack of question here. The main question is, what is our room for maneuver? As you know, that the EU has a very strong soft power, and we are Europeans, and we have to build it on this soft power. If we really want to build a strong cultural European backbone, we have to cooperate, share our best practices, and find the ways, find the opportunities. How can we spread the trustful information? How can we create that our communities, my micro communities, a bit connected, or just to get to know a little bit better each other? For example, like this conference is a very good opportunity, you know, just doing some things, speak about. We had a very good discussion, speaking thing with Vladimir before. So as a closing, I brought a pack of questions, if I still have time, just think about it during this workshop or after this one. How can we find creators and creators? How can find us? How can we strengthen our personal, in-country, editorial and international connections? And will the social media replace the community media? That's a hard question, of course. And how can we work together, basically, in the field of community media? And how can we work together with companies? And what is, as Helga said before, what is the community media right now or today? I think that what we do today is going to be tomorrow's community media. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you so much, Tamás. A lot of food for thought and a lot of questions to include. And I will remind again, do take note so we can have a fruitful and good discussion when we round up. We move to our third speaker. That's Vladimir Radinovic. He's an expert and a lecturer in the field of community radio and podcasting, digital media, and since 2019, director and co-founder of Podcast RS, a platform that gathers podcasters from former Yugoslav republics. And Vladimir himself is based in Serbia. He has worked with a plethora of media-related organizations, businesses, and initiatives, such as Radio Free Europe, Gimlet, National Public Radio, and Deutsche Welle, and through his podcast platform, helped many civil society organizations and independent media houses develop their podcast projects. His engagement in the community radio field in the Balkans the last 15 years has positioned him as an authority on the topic in the region, which also led to his invitation to join the board of Community Media Forum Europe in 2019. And with the Western Balkan context and all the challenges, the floor is laid out for you, Vladimir, take it away.
Thank you. All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Birgitte. And thanks, Alexander and Ingo, for bringing me here and having this, the Balkan way of saying what's happening here. So now I did wrote some questions regarding what we're going to talk today. And but I think I will just give you a short kind of a overview of how I got to where I am and what is currently happening in the Balkans. Now, my early engagement in the radio was back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it was for the last time that the Belgrade actually had a radio, kind of a community radio that had an FM license, which was the Student Cultural Center radio, which, if you dig a little bit deeper, realize that it was owned by a political party of Milosevic's wife, which might sound strange, but for some reason they did not really care what was happening there, and we had a space where we could just play around and experiment. And until our first democratically elected president, prime minister, Zoran Djindjic got shot, then this radio got shut down. Later on, most of the radios that I was part of were pirate stream radios. Since in Serbia, up to this date, in the media law, we really don't have almost anything about community radio. There is one sentence that claims that community radio is non-profitable radio, and that's it. So we always had to somehow find our way around, and streaming was in the 2000s, like 2003, 2004, and so on, was our way to go. And we organized a bit of community radios around this and certain spaces that we would occupy, and this functioned for a while. But later on, as we naturally, there was not much funding for this type of operations. We kept losing money and eventually lost the space. I realized that anyway, we cannot measure that much the effect of the streaming. We can see that, okay, there's some people listening at certain times and so on, but not much is actually going on around this. And the community, I wouldn't say, was around radio. It was more around the actual space. But what I suggested to my fellow members at the radio is like, okay, well, you're all quite skillful at making program, so why don't we just move this completely online, and you can pre-produce your shows. We can still have the linear stream if we want to, but I already at that time kind of realized that the future is more in is going more into on-demand listening, and that endeavor with the linear streaming internet radio didn't actually work that well. And after quite many different efforts and tries and cooperations with different social communities and so on, that radio got shut down as well. Fast forward to some 4 or 5 years ago, we realized, okay, what do we do now? We still love this media, we still love audio, we still love making radio. So what is the tools that we have available that can make our life easier? So naturally, we realized that this is podcasting. And on the other hand, being in such a small market, so to say, where the big players such as the mentioned Spotify here and so on, don't care about your local content. And if you search for what's available there, most of the recommendations will be for the American content and content from the Western world. So the only way to find the local content would be to know the exact name of each show, which is impossible. So we said, okay, we're going to start a local platform for the local users and local producers. And this we, in that way, we connect the people who actually looking for the content. We give them a tool to discover the local content. And we also kind of give a community hub for the local producers where they can exchange their knowledge, talk about this, and kind of move the whole community of podcasters forward and establish a kind of a working ecosystem in this. And this actually proves to be quite a fruitful idea, because we started 4 years ago with only 15 podcasts on the platform. And now we have 300 podcasts on the platform with over 12,000 shows. And we have podcasts from pretty much all of the former Yugoslavian countries. So Croatia, Bosnia, Montenegro, Macedonia, Serbia, and unfortunately, still not a single one from Slovenia, but we are looking for expanding into that region as well. Now, the idea was like, okay, we just offer this space for people to research what's going on in the local market, and we see how it goes. This was a kind of our point. But then quite soon, I realized that building this community proven to be much healthier than what we had previously at the radio. Because like I said, at the radio was like, the community was mostly built around the space, and you didn't have so much interactions between the people. Everybody would have their show. They would build their own community around the show. But the community around the radio was like, okay, we have to have certain meetings and so on. Nobody really wanted to do that. And yeah. But with this in mind, building this platform proved that people don't actually, they never met. Most of them never met in physical space, but they are really eager to help each other because they realize that this is the only space we have currently. The situation in Serbia is kind of a similar to Hungary, if not even worse. Like I said, we don't have any community media. There's no option to have an FM license and so on. So basically what we quite quickly realized that in terms of audio and radio production, podcasts are the only spaces of freedom. So we had to, we soon realized that, okay, so what do we do now? We have to actually maintain this. We have to kind of put some systems around this to protect this. And this is where the community came into mind. And this is what actually we have been doing. We have been a proper hub for all of these people to contact us. We help them with all kind of questions, with all kind of, it doesn't matter if it's just a technological question, like which microphone should I buy or where should I host my my podcast or stuff like that. But also we try to organize events, public events, so to finally get these people to meet. We advocate for the community. We write to the certain, for example, other legacy media if we see that they use the certain pieces of the content they saw or heard in a podcast, but they didn't sign who the author is. And we kind of try to protect and develop this ecosystem further. And what I came to realize, even when I was still doing the kind of a linear radio, and when the first archive that we had, we were putting online, is that of course, we are all there because of the content. We all have something to say. We want to produce great content. But if you are dealing with operating a building full of all kind of stuff, then you are never actually doing the content. In one of the startups that I had previously with my good friend Marcin Lewandowski from Poland, who also comes from the community media of Krakow scene, our idea was to develop certain tools that would help the community radios focus on the content and not on the technology. And luckily for all of us, this is what actually happens with the development of technology nowadays. And I'm super happy with the CBA and the ideas of European Cultural Backbone, because this could really help us focus on the content and develop great content without the actual worries of how these things function and how are we going to pay for the next electric bill for this huge building or something like this. So on the other hand, our idea was also why to spread across the former Yugoslavian region is if we maintain in only one country, then we are easy targets. But if we maintain a cross-country negotiation and cross-country community, then it's not going to be easy for a government to shut down a certain podcast or a certain platform and so on, because we operate on a much larger scale. And then we can actually complain to a bigger player such as EU and so on and say, hey, check out what are they trying to do to us here. Are my 10 minutes gone?
The 9 minutes are.
Okay, so yeah. I mean, I could speak for hours, but let's wrap it up for now and leave the more space for actually questions and dialogue.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Vladimir. Again, lots of food for thought. And with that, we move on to our last speaker, Dr. Sabine Fratzke, who is the founder of Radio Free FM in Ulm. And she was a managing director of Radio Free FM as a member of the editorial board of Radio Free FM. She was the spokeswoman of the State Association of Freier Gesellschaftsfunk Baden-Württemberg and executive board member in Bundesverband Freier Radios. Sabine represents the interests of free radio stations in these different organizations. As an advisory board member of the Cultural Broadcasting Archive, the CBA, the reason why we're all here now, and as a content project manager of the digitization project Danube Streamwaves Digital, she's currently networking free radio stations in the Danube region. The focus on collaborative digital approaches, such as joint development of media libraries, are among Sabine's focus areas. Being also an engineer, the technical part is at the core of much of what you do. So Sabine, with that, bring us towards the end of this part of the panel.
So I have to bring it down, or?
Bring it up.
Yeah, thank you, Alex and Ingo, for inviting me to this conference. And thank you, Birgitte, to put me on this panel. I enjoy it very much. First, I have to say I'm no doctor. I'm a dipple inch.
Ah, okay.
So it's the same. Almost. So we spoke a lot of online infrastructure, and first I want to focus you on our other infrastructure. For me, all this discussion begin with maybe an argue with Alex I had, because he told me, what you guys think, do you keep your unique selling point forever? Why are you special than others who do podcasts and internet? And then I was a bit like, okay, he's right. Why are we special to keep our frequencies? And I was concerned about the frequencies, because there are a lot of things going on in Germany with the decentralization of the European Union. We had to move out of our comfort zone, because before it was the media authority which paid monopolists to maintain all this infrastructure for us. And with the decentralization, we had to keep our own, we had to do international bids, and we had to make our own contract. And the result is that everybody of our radios, especially in Baden-Württemberg, everybody has other contracts with other companies, and we cannot talk together or do one contract together with others. So this was one threat we had, and the another threat was that the public radio is going to DAB. In the non-commercial radio, nobody wants to discuss DAB for the last 10 years, because if you discuss it all over Germany, then you really get a great mess of arguing and discussion. So so we stopped arguing about DAB. But now it seems like that the public radio is going to DAB, and we are losing our frequencies. So this is really a threat, that because we then have to go to the internet. And it really looks like that some of the authorities said, okay, we don't have much money, let's end up these frequencies for the non-commercial radios, they can send in the internet. And it really looked like that in 24, a lot of frequencies will stop, or it was supposed that it stop, and we don't have any solution and any discussion about what we're doing then. And luckily, I can resolve it. In Baden-Württemberg, for example, they now switch to 29, but we're still arguing that we need a solution. And we are arguing, it was the colleagues of France, for example, they did a lot of networking on DAB, and they did a flyer called "We Have to Have an Infrastructure which is free of political and economic influence, which is anonymous, and which is free of extra costs." Because in Baden-Württemberg, there was a special situation that we have the most non-commercial radios, but we were the only ones who have no plan to go on DAB. Even Saxonia now started to put their non-commercial radio on DAB and not Baden-Württemberg, which is really a threat. So I went to and the Radio Dreieckland people, they made this really nice flyer and compared the DAB FM and the alternative was 5G, because in Baden-Württemberg there was a special politic. There was one person, he was on the leading party, and he was the youngest one, so of course everybody of all the politicians say, oh, he's the youngest one, he's probably the competent one when it's coming to new media. So, and he was the one who said, okay, let's wait for 5G, because everything else is only in between, and 5G will be the solution. So nicely, we recognized that 5G needs more energy. So we made something like 5G is bad for climate. And this guy was from the Green Party. So, and it was even now this in this January we had to speak to the Green Party, and the new person who is in charge, she told us, oh, you have to go to the energy department of the politics to tell them that 5G is not good for you. And it become like a little bit weird that we don't talk about free and anonymous and free of costs. We talk about energy when it comes to our infrastructure. So this was the one threat, and the other threat was that I was a little bit afraid if everybody gets an infrastructure to put their program into the radio, then nobody's coming more into our place and discuss with each other and meet each other. And so I was really happy that in Ulm we don't have really a good automatization for the external people to bring it in. But of course, with the pandemic, everybody is expecting us to do so, but we still have it, so they still have to come in and put their program in. So I was really afraid that nobody will come into the radio anymore if we do the podcasting. So this was the situation when we discussed more about podcasting and platforms and think about what we can do to connect people. And then I had a meeting with the leader of the a working group of community radio of the authorities. In Germany, it's not like in Austria. The media authorities, we have media authorities in every country, and the media authority, they have something like an association, and they meet each other, and they even have a working group on community media. And community media not only meets free radios, it as well meets open channels, because in some countries there are no free radios, they are open channels, so the laws are different in the countries. And the difference is the open channels, they are engaged from the authorities often. So they are a little more close to the money pots than the free radios. And they have this working group, and now with the pandemic, they started to recognize us more, and they recognized that we need something, so they started to come in contact with us. And they told us that their prognosis is that there will be 2/3 on the listeners on DAB and 1/3 on the online. But I'm not sure if that's really true. So DAB will still be a very important thing for us. And I think we still have to fight for an infrastructure which is free, anonymous, and free of costs. And on the second part, how much is it? Okay, on the second part, on the second third, we have to think about how to interconnect. And there I started something with an app discussion in 2013, I think. It always failed because nobody knows what I'm speaking about. And then Franz showed up with his decentralized network and exchange of metadata. And it was exactly the thing what I'm thinking about, because I wanted to know the people from the communities all over Germany and all over Austria and Switzerland, because it's the easier, it's the German speaking. I wanted to know them each other so that they can connect. For example, if somebody is doing a hip hop show in Ulm, that he knows the one in Halle or in Hamburg or somewhere else, so they can interconnect and they can find how to exchange their program and how to build a community on there. And then if you have a lot of different local communities, then of course it will strengthen the whole thing. So I in this time I was thinking about an app showing me where are the different communities on my special interest. And I think this in this thing CBA is does really a great work, because they are not only thinking on being an archive for the community media, they are thinking into the future and how to connect the people. And that is what I really like on CBA, on the people on CBA, that they work on progress and think about how we can improve this infrastructure. And I think really the solution on this on this infrastructure is to be connected and to do a strong network and to bring not even the program makers together, they bring the listeners together and show them if there is maybe a hip hop show in Ulm, they can hear on Monday, and on Tuesday they can hear the hip hop show in Linz, for example. So they are lead to how to call it, entdecken, discover the whole universe of the community radio, and then they can discover what opportunities the community radio gives them to bring on their own. And the third thing on the problems I saw was that I'm an engineer, and I saw that there are less technicians in the radios. And all the radios, they had their own zoo of their scripts running. And I got even phone calls from some radios that they asked me, do you have a technician who can help us? Because in our radio, there's even no more technicians. So the smaller ones, they really have problem to find people who are maintaining all this stuff. And with this cross-media journalism and cross-media techniques, it increase, the exercises increase. And on the same time, the economics has the same problems, and they keep all these engineers and technicians, and nobody wants to work for free for the free radios. So it become less people who really work on this issue. And of course, there is now this open source movement, and it's of course a technique which is similar to, or with it's belonging to the free radios, and we like each other, but it's still an issue that we find people who are really maintaining all this stuff. And so the last 2 years on this project, which Brigitte said, it's Danube Streamwaves Digital. The main work I did was to invite all these technicians to workshops or whatever, and to do networking on them. I always say I'm a little bit the entertainer of these technicians, because they have to find each other, and they have because it's nice to build new buildings with new fancy techniques and technologies, but on the end, we have to work together and to share one infrastructure, because otherwise we will not cope with all these exercises we have to do. And so I think the last 2 years, the big exercise for me especially was to bring them together and to focus them on working on one and not on 15 different softwares. I think And in the meantime, it really worked. I had some really funny thing. I was applying, I think, for the 15th time for money for the app, and I didn't get it, as usual. And in November, somebody phoned me up and said, okay, here are 50,000 euro left. You can spend them on your app, but only if you spend it until the 31st of December. And it was like, okay, this is 6 weeks. I will never find anybody who does it. But because of this networking with the Danube Streamwaves Digital, I knew the problems and I knew the persons. So we gave the money to Aura, which is automated radio. It's a software from the Austrian radios, and they maintained it for years, but there was only one programmer left who really worked on it, and he was already a little bit demotivated. So we really had this accidentally 50,000 euro, and with this money we really could open up now the Austrian community to the German one and connecting them together. And we are now establishing a little bit like an open source community around all these needs. And I think this will be the future, to work together in an ecosystem, not only on the infrastructure, as well on the persons.
Thank you so much also to you, Sabine. So much food for thought. And now it's over to you, to those of you online and those of you on site who have been listening to the ideas from Helga about community. Well, maybe the community radio is not the only place where you nurture and work in your community. Tamás talking about the dismantling of the Western inherited media system in Hungary and the struggle for freedom. Vladimir sharing with us the necessity of multi-country presence in order to be less vulnerable for political repression. And finally, Sabine talking about the intent and struggle to maintain the community around the place, but also of finding new communities also cross-border. So now you can direct questions, comments, reflections, any way you want to the panel in general or to individuals. Let us hear from you.
Hello, Christian Berger, Literadio, coming from Austria. You discussed civil media as media, always as technological, as political, but this is more. This is a social initiative. There are also educational questions in there. So you have not only to think about the technology, you have also to think with pedagogical and this side to discuss this. I missed this discussion. So you always show a part of it. Where is the other part? We lose it. It's a thing. This is one argument which is only in the civil media, not commercial media, not public media, have this addictional topic.
Thank you very much, Sabine. Yeah,
it was too short to cover this as well. I just had an issue with the Berlin Media Authority, because they wanted to buy a normal app for the non-commercial radio, and they use the app to have their reach. And there I really said to them that they have to think about that they cannot buy any app like for commercial radio, because they have to think about participation and they have to think about interconnection, because the normal apps are on concurrence, and we have to work on connection between the radios and participation. So we have to maintain it in a way that everybody has is able to, for example, to write on his own description for his show. That's a small issue, but normally people don't think about it because they have a central point of description. So we think about, and even we have in Baden-Württemberg an initiative to make something together for everybody. And there, of course, one of the board we collected the needs. There is as well one board about the social issues, and the of course the radio bring in these issues.
Thank you.
May I just go quickly? What we keep, I guess, what we kind of forget in these discussions is that it is just the new technology. We still have the community media people behind it, so there are still this all these aspects are there. For example, on our platform, we still do all this education thing, and we also try to look at the media landscape in Serbia and see which parts of the content is missing, which groups are underrepresented. And then we go to the civil societies that represent these groups and say, okay, we can produce the shows for you so you can have a much wider audience. So the idea is still there. It is just that we kind of miss the physical space. But that is also might change in the future, as we are thinking of something that developing this kind of a not so much a community radios anymore, because this is so complicated in the in former Yugoslav region, but rather community studios.
Yeah, we have questions.
Yeah, hello. Thank you very much for the interesting reflections. Menno Weiss, European Culture Foundation in Amsterdam. If you saw my short presentation yesterday, the mission of the ECF is to develop a European public sphere. And my question is, in this context, you produce a lot of content which is mainly meant for a specific community, you as community media in general, I mean. Is it possible, and if yes, what is needed to make this content relevant on a European level? How can someone in Belgrade be interested in something produced in Linz? Or what is needed to make that happen, that we have a public sphere in Europe that's interconnected and where people can listen to, yeah, interlocal content?
If we don't think about the language barriers, for example, if you can translate something, just let me say a short example. A few months ago, we created, and it's a little bit connected to the educational leg of the community media too. A few months ago, we created in a cooperation with the CMFE a content for the Hungarians about the framing. The framing is, of course, it's not a new thing, but in Hungary, the people don't really know what is that. We created Hungarian language, the interviews and English language too, and then dub them to make understandable to the Hungarians. I think that we can share valuable contents. The contents is not really a big question here. For example, a portrait interview about somebody in Hungary who has a kind of migrant ancestors and he's now a Hungarian, or depends on the country, doesn't really matter, could be interesting for in Belgium for a guy whose parents are migrants too, for example. But the main question, I think this kind of transfer could be very good, and there's a pack of untold stories in Europe and nationwide. To you can use it just to strengthen the European cohesion. And the main question is that how can we find and how can we broadcast, share these kind of stories?
Can I just quickly add that maybe the Serbia and Austria is not the best comparison, because there is a huge community here, so they would definitely be interested in what's going on back in their motherland. But yes, if you have a certain countries like Hungary and Serbia, where in generally in commercial and public media you don't have that much stories of what is actually going on, except for the certain kind of a propaganda, then if you want to know what is going on in certain, like Sabine said, if you want to know what's going on in the hip hop scene in Belgrade and you're from Linz, then this would be definitely the content you could find there. It goes on for all kind of a different communities. So it does. So maybe you are a researcher in Berlin and you are interested in what's going on in the LGBTQ scene in Belgrade. Then you could find this content there, because otherwise in the public media, well, you will find something, but very scarcely and very biased on the topic. And there you can find actually what's going on with the stakeholders from this community. And this would really make sense in kind of strengthening these micro communities and bringing them on a much bigger scale.
Helga? I don't have really the answer to that, but I think also what we are working on here, and also what is also supported by the European Cultural Foundation, is, I suppose, an important way to take it to the European level, to tackle the language barrier, to also think about search, because I think also when you mention your platform, it's still very, very rare, or I wouldn't know the way to really find it when I'm, for example, myself being interested in the content. So there's for sure a lot to be still solved, but I wanted to also mention that the language that, for example, on our platform, or the CBA, or we have playing it also out on something that's called Freie Radios Online, where it's more like this local centered or anchored value is immediately graspable. There are you can for example search by language. So therefore you have also this idea communicated to you by the search possibilities, that there are many languages within and without or outside of Europe that are part of this. But I think we really need to get up in the Wahrnehmung, yeah, in the public, and I don't. We're working on that actually.
Yeah, I want to add to Vladimir that we have really a good experience on this exchange on hip hop, because we had in the beginning of this Danube Streamwaves project, it was a music program exchange, and we had really an experience that we had a partner in Serbia, which was the public radio in the Vojvodina, it's O Radio, and they had no interest in the local music scene. And when we showed up and asked for exchange, and we were interested in the local music scene in Serbia, they suddenly established a program for the local music scene in Serbia. So it had really an impact on the public radio. And regarding your question, what is need, maybe my experience is another than in Austria. You are in this kind a little bit in a luxury situation, because in Germany, because of this federation, we don't have a coordination all over. For example, the Federation of the Free Radios of Germany has only very, very small budget per year, and when I get paid for anything, I get paid off my radio, and my colleague who is doing a lot is Mark Westhusen. He is paid off his radio in Halle, so we are not paid off the Association of Free Radios, and I got the impression to improve all these things, you need a coordination. You need really a strong timeline and to push it forward.
I just wanted also to point out, we had yesterday the ABU, and we still have we were also in Austria proposing to the ORF some sort of decentralized talking of archives, showing maybe content the ORF can't provide, even if it is in his Auftrag, but community media could. We see this in the BBC and Beyond manifesto. So I think there would also be, in terms of increasing visibility of what's there on a European level, we could also think that might be contested, but we could also think about public broadcasters, big content providers with a lot of money, to also foster other content getting in the view of interested users.
Thank you so much. We have a question from Alex, and I was wondering whether we could add a second question, and then you would answer to the two questions at the same time to make sure we cover the ground. Alex, the word is yours.
It would be more of a remark to the question, and I would like to point out the project Stimmlagen, which exists in Austria, that is a project of various public access radios in or community radios in Austria, and they gather for specific topics like parliamentary elections. Then there is 1 month ahead the various groups, specific radio, specific that they developed journalistic groups that try to have some sort of a format to provide more general information, or like a news format, and so they focus on special aspects that appear to be civil society aspects, and run a campaign before the election. And it is also some sort of a development I've seen at the community radios in Austria in the last couple of years, that there's just a lack of general news that focuses on these issues, and that more and more radios saw that they should put some effort and some resources in building up own journalistic group to be possible to cover this. And so I could also imagine that on a European level there could be some sort of a coordination and collaboration, so that you, for example, like also the example of ZIP-FM that worked in Germany, where they had some sort of a news show, a daily news show, and each day another town was responsible for the program, and there has been some sort of coordination what topics should be done, and also other radio stations just delivered 5 minutes or something like that. So this would need some sort of preparation, but I think this is imaginable, that if then something is going on like now in Ukraine, or in there are elections in Spain, always there could be some sort of a network where, you know, okay, we're gonna ask our people here in Barcelona, or we know that Martin Wassermeyer, who is running a show here in Linz on the public access TV station, which also received standard journalistic prices. Normally, if there are elections in Austria, then the Germans call him and ask him for an interview. So this is could be a way to get also something beyond just the first come first serve community program that exists on the stations.
Thank you so much. Before we give you the word, I just want to hear if we have any questions from online audiences. No. So the word is yours?
Yeah, it's just a reflection that popped up in my mind while I was listening to you, and also to this question about how to transcend the frontiers of each country and translating content, etc. And I was thinking that if we need to transcend language barriers, I think that we have to have it from a radio creativity. And I think that the hip hop example is very good, because I don't need to understand the lyrics of music in order to enjoy them. And perhaps we should think more outside the box when making radio shows and integrating different languages, than put on ourselves the big burden of this needs to be translated, this needs to be dubbed. Like, this is very hard work that we put on top of making like the original content itself, that
perhaps we should be easier on ourselves and mixing more languages perhaps into a single radio show and just get used to the musicalities of other languages and celebrate other languages whether we understand them or not. Perhaps this is very abstract, but it's something that came into my mind.
I just want to share one comment before I hand over. One of the EU projects that both AMAC Europe and Community Media Forum Europe have been a part of is called Smart Training, smarttraining.eu. It's about training audiences with special needs, and their ideas and syllabi about how to how to manage multi-language programming. Quite creative content that one can get inspired by when trying to transcend language barriers. I just wanted to share that. smarttraining.eu.
It just came to my mind while we were speaking that another example of conflict resolution. For example, Serbia and Albania, well, we all know what's happening there, but there is no, in the public media, there is no kind of a hand offer, like let's shake hands and let's continue, let's further the dialogue from just being on the two different sides. And we have this in the community media. And what we have been currently involved in, we produced one podcast where we had youth from both Pristina, Tirana, and Belgrade. And the podcast is in English, so they could all, of course, understand that. And they were just like sitting together and discussing and just talking on these like common topics, like what are the festivals in your country? What is happening there? So just like getting to know each other and moving from this status quo of we are the enemies of each other. You know, so this is also something that where a platform like this could offer solutions, because in the public or commercial media, you don't have this content. It does not exist.
Yes.
Question there from Roland?
You have, okay.
Tamás was asking the question, will there be social media or community media? I think it was you. And don't you think we should combine that and try, because there is now a need also to escape Twitter or Facebook. I try to avoid them because of several reasons. And I'm eager to see and be involved in new community media and social media which we have not established yet. And if we really put now our technicians together, both from hackathons, those who are creating the new chat protocols with metrics, for example, with those who create the content, you can very easily in the Element app in metrics embed widgets per room, and we could add widgets for audio and podcasts. So really try this opportunity really to combine it. Do you see this possibility, or do you rather want to see that separated? I think there is probably also a new term we need for those people who work on that. The technicians have one, it's a hackathon. Technicians sit together, open source minded people, work for some days or a week or a weekend, and at the end of this weekend they have a result and some at least a prototype up and running. We need that probably also for content. Maybe we should call that mechaton for media hackathon or something like this. Do you have experience with that, or do we need something like that? You can do it in teaching with students. That's very effective. I did it as well. After 3 days, you have very nice shows. Shouldn't we do this also with community media and learn from the open source sector here?
So,
if we are to keep the time schedule, are we? If we are to, I was thinking this would be an excellent question to blend into the last round of comments by the panel, where you've been asked to consider, based on the debate today, how should a community media future in Europe, what should it look like, maintaining some of the strong social elements also of participation and co-creation? So with your question, please.
I try to answer briefly, and during the lunch we'll speak about it more. So many questions. My question about between the community and social media was a bit provocative, but so thank you for the question. I think that the podcast, the social media, the web page, all of these things are just tools in the best way. How can we transfer ideas, views? How can we empower people, our volunteers and the listeners, to so just tools? We usually use the social media, of course, using the audio production titles and the lead, push it to the social media, one picture and go out, and the people can catch it. Or using the Instagram, we are planning to do some TikTok videos, but that's the question of the future. This kind of media hackathon is a very good idea. Speak about it later, because it could be a very good sprint week or sprint course to the students, get the ideas and find the best solutions and way how can we use this kind of social media and other kind of tools very effectively.
Okay, I agree. Same as Tamás said, these are just the different tools, different tool sets. And also, I really agree with you on this idea of hacking, because for me, I mean, I'm not someone who comes from the development world, or I don't have that much of a technological background, but I always considered myself a hacker. Sometimes a system hacker, sometimes a media hacker. And it's just this is a kind of a approach to life, and not just accepting the way stuff is and someone tells you that it is like this, but rather finding different solutions. And to kind of reflect on this final remarks of what the future is, I definitely think that the such a discovery platform such as the European Cultural Backbone is needed. It will help us all kind of get to know each other and learn what is going on in different micro communities. Because anyway, even if we had even if we go back in the days and we look at a traditional community radio, it was the community of communities. It was never just like, this is the one community and we all do one thing. We all had our own small communities, and then we joined a bigger community in order to be recognized, in order to have our voices spread out, and also to have the safety of this larger community. So this is what happens, but we just now have new technologies, and this technology, if we use them properly, we can kind of enlarge this on a European scale and have each other's backs in case something goes wrong. So this is, I think this is my point of view of how things should go and how things will. And anyway, each of these micro communities will have their own way of managing. And this is what the CMFE knows by researching the community media scene. If you're in Europe, it's never the same. It's completely different in Austria than in Portugal, than in Spain, than in Norway and so on. I mean, Norway already shut down the FM. So there is each one of these micro communities will somehow continue to exist. But if we have this kind of a backbone platform where we all can get together and connect, but not just as a tool for listening. So not just be a kind of a listening platform, but also connection. And then from there, we can kind of solve this bigger issues.
Thank you. Also, weißt du, na, ist, okay, I would like to really stress what you said, and also having each other's backs, I think, is really important, especially in the face of backlash and stuff that's coming our way, even if we are very privileged and still very complaining on a very high level here in Austria. Things can change very rapidly, and we need also to be aware of that. I think also hacking as an approach to life is a great Stichwort, and I think also the media competence. Thank you, Christian, for that, because it's on the foundations of all of this, and also in a way of political media education. And so also let's hack the social media concept as it's always very strange to me when in the US they all only speak from social, the social, and it means social media actually. So I think we really need to focus also on the social in the community media as an early social media still.
And I think we should all leave a bit our comfort zone, and we should always be aware that we have to fight for this infrastructure which is free, anonymous, and free of costs. And to reach that, we should combine our resources and work together in strong networks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.